Okay, we're on the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Amri Nahar Dai, the sages or the people of Nahar Dai said, Hayman Dezabin Dikla Lechavre, a person who sells a single date tree to his friend. Kanile, the buyer, once he does an act of acquisition on the date tree, has acquired not just the tree and all the fruits that are on the tree, but mishipule ad tahoma, from what's on the bottom of the tree all the way into the innermost depths of the ground. In other words, when a person buys a tree, he buys the tree and all the ground under it, even a single tree. That's the view of the Nahar Dai. So when a person, in other words, when I sell to someone a tree, say he's buying the tree and he has the rights now to get the fruits off of the tree, the fruits draw nourishment from the ground. So I must have sold to him not just the tree, but also all the ground that's under the tree, which is providing nourishment for the tree. Therefore, if the tree dries or is removed, according to the Nahar Dai, the buyer owns the space. He can put another tree in its place, and the seller cannot stop him. So a single tree, according to the Nahar Dai, gets a lot of land underneath it. Maskifla Rava, Rava challenged this ruling of the Nahar Dai. Why can't the seller tell the buyer? I sold you a tree like, how do they translate Korkma Derishka?
Golden saffron.
Garden saffron.
Garden saffron. So this, as we've seen several times, was a very expensive plant. It didn't take up a lot of space. And you know, once it's uprooted, you've already gained from it a great deal. You have these leaves and spices on it. So maybe that's what the seller sold to the buyer. He sold the tree like the garden saffron. In other words, you have the tree, you can use it, you can get whatever is on it, but once it's out, you can't replant anything. You don't have anything in the ground. You just have the value of this item. And therefore, Akur Korkma Derishka Vazil. Once the tree dries, he tells him, okay, uproot your, you know, the remains of your garden saffron and go. There's nothing left that I had sold you. You don't own anything anymore. Ela Amar Rava. So therefore Rava explained like this. Beba Machmas Taina. The lesson of the Nahar Dai was not that any time a person buys a single tree, he has acquired the tree plus the ground underneath it. And therefore, if the tree withers, he can replant in that ground. That's not true. If somebody buys a tree and he was told, I'm selling to you a tree, that all he got was the tree. He doesn't get what's underneath the tree. But rather, here we're talking about a person who has a claim and a chazaka. In other words, the buyer was here for 3 years. He used it, and no one protested. And now the buyer says, I bought the land underneath the tree, not just the tree. And the proof that I bought the land underneath the tree and not just the tree is that I have used this for 3 years and nobody protested. So Mark Shisha, the son of Rav Chisda, said to Rav Ashi, if you're saying that generally when a person buys a single tree, he doesn't own the land underneath it. It's like a Korkma Derishka deal. It's like the saffron deal. He's going to get the benefits and then that's it. But in this case, the Bnei Nahar Dai are saying that if someone is using the tree and he claims that he bought the tree and what's underneath it, then he can, his claim can be credible if he has a chazaka, if he was there for 3 years with no protest. I don't understand. If the arrangement was in fact just, you can benefit from the tree, but you don't own what's underneath the tree. What's the original owner to do to prevent a chazaka from developing? Because the guy's benefiting from the tree, because that's what he bought. But he's going to turn around and claim, I didn't just buy the tree, I bought the tree and what's underneath the tree, and the proof is nobody protested for 3 years. Of course nobody protested, because you were allowed to take the fruits, and that's what you were doing. Answers the Gemara, the answer we saw earlier, he should have registered a protest, the same way we said earlier, that if a man hires a sharecropper, so then he can claim it was only a sharecropper, there's no chazaka, there's no presumption of ownership by the fact that the sharecropper took the fruits and planted the field. So we said, but how would he mean there's no chazaka only for the 3 years? After 3 years, there is a chazaka. Then what's the man who hires such a sharecropper to do to prevent his sharecropper from falsely claiming that he bought it and he has a chazaka? So we said the answer is that the original seller should register a protest, should say, I'm telling people this man is on my field, but he's there only because he's a sharecropper and I hired him. That's what should have happened here too. If the seller wanted to save the land underneath the tree from being illicitly taken by the buyer of the tree, if he only sold the tree but not the land underneath it, he should have registered a protest. Now, it's not even a full protest. He's not saying that guy's a thief. It's okay, even though it's not a full protest, that's also a protest. And if you're not going to understand this, that there's such a thing as a partial protest, and that also works to stop chazaka, how did the sages create this thing called Mashkanta Desura? As we've learned before, Mashkanta Desura is that if a man lends money, sometimes the borrower would give a mashkon, would give a guarantee to the lender, and the nature of that guarantee was that the lender would be on that field, and he would take the produce of that field until the loan was paid off, and then he'd give the field back. So in that document it would say, Ani mashkanta to surah, and these guarantees of surah, the chasav b'yachi, where it says the following line, B'mishlam shnaya ilin, when these years are completed, Tepuk aradot b'lokes, if this land should leave without any money having to change hands. So, ikavish le l'shtar mashkanta, if the lender is going to tear up this document or hide this document, and claim this field was purchased, and I've been here for 3 years and nobody protested, it's my chazaka. Hachanami de mehemen, is he going to be believed? How could you say that? Mitakni rabbanan milsadasi beilu de pseidar, the rabbi is going to legislate a law that is rife for abuse, that's going to be rife to be used for stealing. Ella, so what do we say? It's not that the law is something which is going to lead to stealing. Because we tell the borrower, yes, I know you lent, you gave your field as a guarantee to this man. So you should be protesting to make sure that he doesn't establish a chazaka. Now, how does he protest? He doesn't say that man's a thief. He says that man is allowed to be there. But that man is there from me. That man is there because he's eating up fruit to as my repayment of the loan that I took from him. That's also a macha. That's also a protest. That's fine. That's also a protest. That's what you see. So hachanami. So you see that the same way that sort of partial rejection of what that man is doing is a macha. Hachanami here too. Iboile limchuye. He should have been mocha. He should have protested. And since he should have protested, that would be the way in which he can preserve his land. And therefore, since there is an option of protest, if he didn't protest, and a man says, I've been on this land for 3 years with no protesting, and I'm eating off of the fruit, so that's a proof that not only did I buy the tree, but I bought the ground underneath the tree, and because it was 3 years with no protest, I misplaced my document proving that I bought the land underneath the tree, he would be believed. But no one is saying, in Gemara's conclusion, that when someone sells a tree, automatically he sells the land underneath the tree. We're saying that if the man who's been on the tree makes a claim that he bought the land underneath the tree, and he proves his claim from the fact that he's been there for 3 years with no protest, that would be a good proof. That's what the B'nai Nahardai were saying.
So the owner of the field has to come every year to him and say, yo.
Every 3 years.
What?
Once every 3 years, he has to register in front of witnesses. I don't let no one think that that man's usage of this field or this tree is a proof that I sold it to this man. I didn't sell it to this man. He's using the field because I allowed him to, or I sold him the tree, or he's taking the loan back, but not that I sold him the ground underneath.
If the tree dies,
yeah.
Okay, now, it has to do with the initial agreement.
Correct.
If he could replace the tree.
Correct.
Or just walk away from it. Is that
correct.
Right?
You know? But our usual assumption is that on a single tree, he can't replace it. If he'd have a document showing that he could, that would be believed.
Which is the initial document.
Right. Or if he had a chazaka, he would be believed. But we're saying if the man, if the original owner is protesting, he keeps preventing a chazaka from forming.
But if he owns the trees in the middle of the field, so he has a right of a way of reaching to those trees.
Sure,
still,
to
right?
get to the fruits.
So
we're going to see that later.
The land of walking, you know,
we'll have to see that later in the Masechta. That's the big argument between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan, which was taught so ably the other day, whether mocher, ba'ayin yafehu mocher, whether a seller sells generously, or mocher ba'ayin ra yof mocher, does a seller normally sell stingily? Yeah, that's that question about getting to the tree within the middle of a field.
Rabbi, you know, if the idea of selling the trees means could mean that you could sell the land underneath, why not just have sold the land? Then it would avoid any machloket.
Depends what the deal was.
No, I understand, but
how much did he pay?
If the intent is that the land beneath the trees, you know, belongs to the buyer, then just sell it as the land. Then, of course, you know, whatever is on the land, you know, belongs
yeah.
to the buyer.
Yeah, well, he could have. Certainly would have made it easier.
Back then, I think they used to use, they used to make refrigeration below the earth.
Could be.
They used to line it, they used to line it with ice from the snow.
Sure, to keep things cold.
To insulate the ice, and it used to stay a whole year cold.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So the underneath the tree was a valuable space.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay, we're up to the next Mishnah. Mishnah here on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, page 38a. So the basic concept that we've been learning in this parak is the idea of chazaka, cheska shalosh shanim, a chazaka, a presumption because of 3 years. If someone uses a field or a house or a wine press or an olive press or a bathhouse for 3 years, and there's no protest, no one's saying that he's not allowed to be there, no one says that it's not his, no one says it's really mine. So now, if after 3 years somebody comes and he has proof that he was the original owner, he was the marakama, he was the first owner, and he says, hey, you've been a squatter here for 3 years, you get out of here, it's not yours, it's mine. Where's your document proving that it's yours? And he, the man who's been here, says, well, I know what, you know why I've been here for 3 years? I bought it from you. I've been here for 3 years, nobody protested after so long of my being here. It's like a tax return after 7 years. I could lose it. I lost the documents, but it's mine. So the law that we've learned till now is that he's believed. That's a credible claim. Why? As we've said, the original owner, who's normal, is not going to just let other people squat in his land for years without saying anything to anyone. He would protest if it's really his. The fact that he was quiet for so long is a proof that it's probably not his. And 3 years is long enough to understand why a person might misplace a document. After 3 years, it is normal for people to misplace documents. So says the Mishnah, this is only true when the original owner is around and he knows that someone is squatting on his land. But if he's, let's say, in Spain, and he has a piece of land in Emek Rifaim, outside of Yerushalayim, we wouldn't say that that the fact that he had a piece of land outside of Yerushalayim and someone was squatting on it and he didn't protest was a proof that he's giving up his rights to it. He didn't even know about it. He was out in Spain for years. You have to be around if the owner's around. And the owner sees that people are taking his stuff and he's quiet, then his lack of protest is indicative of something. But if he's not even around, then it's not a proof to anything. So therefore, says the Mishnah, Shalosh Aratzos L'Chazaka. There are three areas, three territories, three states in regards to being able to establish a Chazaka. So, which means what? Yehuda, Judea, that's the area, let's say, from Yerushalayim and south, Yerushalayim, Gush Etzion, Beitar, Hebron, Be'er Sheva, so there's Yehuda. Then there's Eiver HaYarden, the other side of the Jordan River, which most say means the western side, not the western, the eastern side of the Jordan River, places like Amman, or Bashan, the Golan, and Vahagalil, in the northern area, places like Tzfat, Tzipori, Beit Sharim. And therefore, Hayabi Yehuda, let's say the original owner was in Judea, he's living in Hebron, the Herzik Begalil, and the squatter is on a piece of land in Tzfat. Or Begalil, let's say the original owner is in Tzfat, Vechazik Biyuda, and the squatter is sitting in a field near Hebron. Ain't a chazaka. That's not a chazaka. The fact that he was there for 3 years and there was no protest, of course there was no protest. The original owner doesn't know about it. It's not in front of him. If the original owner comes and says, it's my field, I have proof that it was mine, and he says, yeah, it was yours, but I bought it from you, I've been here for 3 years, you didn't protest, I misplaced the document, he's not believed. You say, where's your document? Leave. Acheimo b'medina achas, when do you have the chazaka? What could create a new presumption that it belongs to the man who's the resident on it, because he's been here for so long with no words of protest? If he's been here for 3 years, and the original owner has also been around here for 3 years within the same territory, when they're both in the same state. I'm Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, though, disagreed. Rav Yehuda said, even if the original owner is in Spain, and someone is squatting on his field in Jerusalem, after 3 years, if there's no protest, it would be a chazaka. So you say, what do you mean? Why? How would he find out about it? He's in Spain. This is something happening in Jerusalem. They didn't have an internet or Facebook or any of these networks. The answer is like this. Rav Yehuda said, Lo amru shalosh shanim, the whole idea of 3 years, is ela kidei sheyehe ba'aspamya. It's so that if he is in Spain, therefore, if yachzik shana, if someone squats on his land for a year, they will go for a year to Spain to tell him, and he will protest. And in year number three, they're going to come back with the protest. So the whole idea of 3 years is to give the time to get the news to Spain and back. So therefore, it applies even if the original owner is in Spain. He's going to hear about it, as we're going to see on Yamid Beis. Unfortunately, it's human nature to gossip about other people's misbehavior. As the Gemara says, Chavrach, your friend, Chavra Islay, he has a friend, V'chavra de Chavrach, the friend of your friend, Chavra Islay has a friend. So if someone is stealing my land in Jerusalem and I'm in Spain, my friends who are still around in Jerusalem are going to hear, they're going to tell their friends who are going to bring the news to me a year later, I'm going to protest. The news of my protest is going to come back, and therefore it'll stop the chazaka. That man was on notice. He should have kept his documents. If he didn't, it's a proof that it's really mine.
So the protest could be to a shaliach.
Yes. So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss right away. So the Gemara asks, my kasavar Tanakama. What's the view of the Tanakama who holds that the original owner has to be in the same state as the squatter for a chazaka to take hold? If he holds that a protest that's not in front of the squatter, namely, as Roger pointed out, a protest through the game of telephone, through a shaliach, through an emissary, is also a protest. So then he should say, even if they're in two different states, like Rabbi Yehuda, even if the original owner is in Judea and the squatter is in the Galilee, but the original owner is going to hear through emissaries, and he can protest through emissaries. And he can suffer macha shlo b'fanav lo avi macha. And if he feels that a protest not in his presence is not a macha, Afilu Yehuda v'Yehuda namilo. Then even if they're in the same state, in the same Judea, it shouldn't be considered a squatting, nor should it be considered a protest. So Amar Rav Abba Bar Mamol, Amar Rav. So Rav Abba Bar Mamol answered in the name of Rav. Lo'olam kasava, really he holds. Macha shelo b'fanav havi macha. A protest even, not in front of the original, not in front of the squatter, is a protest. It would prevent an establishment of chazaka. And therefore, if a man was here for 3 years, even though the original owner was not around, presumably that should be a chazaka, because he could have protested. However, Mishnah Seinu, our Mishnah, B'shas Cheirum Shanu, is telling us a law about, military realities or transportation safety. And it's saying like this, that if the areas don't have lots of travel between them, then if the original owner is in another area, then it's not a chazaka, because he's not going to hear about it. Even if he did hear about it, his protest is not going to be heard about it back here, because people are not traveling back and forth. So that's what's going on here. If there's a war and there's nobody traveling around, so even if I'm in Be'er Sheva and he's just down the road in Sderot, it wouldn't be a chazaka, because there's no travel back and forth if there's a war. Maishna Yehuda the Galil de Nakat. So why did it mention Judea and the Galilee? Hakamashman, this is the Chiddush. Now turning to Lamed Chesmid Beis, the Stam Yehuda the Galil Kishas Cheirum Dami. That even when there's peace between Judea and the Galilee, there's not a lot of travel back and forth. These are separate states. So there's not a lot of going from Judea to the Galilee, from the Galilee back. And therefore, since there's not a lot of travel, it's not a chazaka if I'm in one area and the original owner is in another, because there's not going to be enough travel back and forth for the news of my squatting to get to him. And there's not enough travel back and forth for the news of his protest to get back to me. And therefore, it's not a chazaka. But within one state, there's a lot of travel back and forth. So the point of this Mishnah is that between states is like a situation of war. In a situation of war when there's no travel, so then, of course, a chazaka would only take place if it's literally in front of the original owner, because he could protest in front of his eyes. But if it's in the same state, but there's a war going on, and it's dangerous to travel, there would be no chazaka. So too, from state to state, always is like a war. There's always, even during peacetime, there's not much travel from Judea to the Galilee, from the Galilee to Judea. And therefore, a resident in one area is not establishing a chazaka if the original owner is not in that area.
I thought we were assuming like the whole purpose was that the original owner should at least once in 3 years have somebody check that there's nobody on it.
Okay.
So if it's so close by...
No, it's not so close by. One's in Judea, one's in the Galilee, and we know that people don't travel from place to place.
So the squatter cannot establish a...
Correct. Chazaka. He can't establish a chazaka.
Did Bezdin understand that, Rabbi?
Bezdin understood everything.
So the 3 years could be extended then?
Yeah.
It would have to be much longer that he has to hold on to the documents. That's right.
Were there actual borders between Galilee?
Apparently, yeah. There were borders. There were different states, different countries ruling them. Rabbi, the Romans were in charge of all these areas.
Rabbi, what if the squatter wasn't Jewish?
We saw before, then there's no chazaka because people are afraid to start up with him. Even if you buy from a non-Jew, it's not a chazaka, unless you can claim, I bought from the non-Jew, and I saw him buy from this Jew. Because then Miku could have said, I bought from the Jew directly, then you're believed to say, I saw him sell to the non-Jew, then sold to me.
The Palestinians claim of being there for so long.
They don't have a chazaka.
We've been protesting.
Well, we can't protest. The point is we couldn't, right? We were in danger of being killed by the Turks and by the others, by the Egyptians. We couldn't protest. Like, really, we would have protested. We just couldn't. So therefore, they don't have a chazak without a deed of sale, without a deed of purchase.
So a chazak can only be implemented when the owner is near, it's in the same city? Within the same state.
Correct, within the same state. So he would know, and he should have protested. His protest would have been found out. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Ein machzikim menichsei boreach. If there's a person who we're going to see who's a fugitive from the Roman authorities, if he ran away, then a person who's on his land is not establishing a chazakah because he ran away because he's running away from the Romans. There's no way for him to protest. That's what Rav said. Ki amrita kamed Shmuel, but when I said this in front of Shmuel, when Rav Yehuda said this lesson of Rav in front of Shmuel, after Rav died, Rav Yehuda became a student of Shmuel, Amar li, so Shmuel said, I don't accept that. Does the protest have to be done in front of the squatter? The protest doesn't have to be done in front of the squatter. Everybody agrees that word spreads. It just has to be within the same state. But it doesn't have to be in front of the squatter. So let the fugitive protest, even though he's running away from the authorities. So one second for Rav. My Kamashman. So what's Rav teaching us? Is Rav in fact saying, Macha shlo b'fanav lo havya macha, that a protest not in front of the squatter is not considered a protest? We know the Rav doesn't agree with that. Rav himself said, Macha shlo b'fanav havya macha. If the original owner protests, even though he doesn't protest to the words, to the face of the squatter, it is considered a protest. It is considered a protest. It does work. So the Gemara says, what do you have to say? Rav, taima de tana di dan kamafarish. Rav was explaining the reasoning of our tana. He himself doesn't agree. He himself feels that a protest, even not in front, would work. But he's saying, what's the reason of our Mishnah that says that the people have to be in the same state in order for there to be a chazakah? So the Tana of the Mishnah holds that a protest not in front of the squatter doesn't work. That's why they have to be in the same state. And that way he can go in front of him. But he himself doesn't agree with it. So he's saying, based on the logic of the Tanakam of the Mishnah, the same would be true with the fugitive. A guy who's running away from the government wouldn't be able to protest because he's not going to be in front of the resident. And therefore, the resident is not establishing a chazakah. Ikadami, another version of this discussion, of the discussion of Rav about this topic. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav, Machzikim Menichsei Boreach. If someone is sitting on the field of a fugitive, that is a chazaka. After 3 years, we presume it's his, because there should have been a protest. Ki amrita kamei de Shmuel, when I told this in front of Shmuel, Amar li pshita, he said, I agree, of course, this is obvious. After all, v'chilim chos b'fanav utzarech, does a man who's protesting have to do it in front of the squatter? No, he can do it even though he's not in front of him. So therefore, a fugitive also could have done it, even though he's running away from here. He's running away from the government here. So the Gemara asks for Rav Mai Kamashman. So Rav, what's he teaching us? That Macha Shlo B'fanav Havya Macha, protest, not in the presence of the resident, is also a protest. V'amar Rav Chadazim, the Rav already told it to us. Allah Kamashman. So apparently the Chiddush is like this. That even if the original owner protested in front of two witnesses, who don't have the ability of reporting to the original, to the squatter. In other words, he protested in front of two witnesses, let's say who don't have legs. So they can't go from where they are to tell anyone. Havya macha, that is still a good protest. To Rama Ravanan, as Ravanan explained, the Didi Mifr Shalimi Nedemar Shmuel. This was explained to me by our master Shmuel. Micha b'fnei shnei b'nei Adam. If a person protests in front of two people, Sheyecholin lo marlo, who have the ability of telling the squatter that you know the original owner is upset, you better hold on to your documents. Havya macha, that's a good protest. But Shmuel said that if a man makes his protest in front of two witnesses who are in wheelchairs and they can't travel, they can't say anything, that's not a protest. And since it's not a protest, no chazaka, a guy who can't lodge a protest against him, a chazaka can't be established. That was Shmuel's view. But Rav said no, as I mentioned before. Rav said like this. News spreads. This man protested in front of the two witnesses who were in wheelchairs. But they talked to their friends, who talked to their friends, who do travel, who come back to the guy, and they talk to him, and that's the fine protest. Chavrach, your friend, Chavra Islay, he has a friend. The Chavra de Chavrach, and the friend of your friend, Chavra Islay, he has a friend who will tell him. Amar Rava, Rava said, Hilchasa v'halach, even though we just went through saying that it does work, no, it doesn't work. If a man is a fugitive running away from the Roman authorities, and you're sitting on his piece of land, and then he comes back 3 years later when the Romans pardon him, he says, hey, it's my land. You can't say, oh, I bought it from you and I lost the document, because he was in a situation where he couldn't protest. He was running from the government, and since he couldn't protest, your residence there did not establish a chazaka, a presumption that it's yours. So the Gemara is, and that's right. No, the opposite. Umacha shalo b'fanav, but a protest, even though not in front of the squatter, havya macha is a good protest. The Gemara says, Tarti, how do you have both things? It's a contradiction. If you can protest not in front of the squatter, so then the fugitive should have protested. Yes, he's running away. He's not here, but he can tell someone. And as Rav Anan taught us, the person he'll tell has a friend, who has a friend, we'll hear news about it. So it should be a good protest. Therefore, if there's the option of protest, the chazaka is a good chazaka. Yes, the Gemara Lokash is not a contradiction. Kan Boreach Machmas Mama. If a man is running away because he has problems with the IRS, so if he's running away because of the tax man, he's running away because of debts maybe, he's running away because of monetary issues, he could have protested. Then if he didn't protest, the chazaka was established. Because a protest, even though not in front of the squatter, is a good protest. But Khan, when we said that if you hold on to the land of a fugitive, it wasn't a chazaka, it's Boreach Machmas Mardin. He's running away because of murder. He's running away because of an accusation that he committed murder. So when there's an accusation that he committed murder, his life is in danger. Because the relatives of the one who was murdered are coming after him to kill him. So therefore, he can't protest. Because if he would protest, his whereabouts would be located. He would find out where he is. I don't think they had in the times of the Second Temple. So therefore, that's when we said that since he can't protest because he's on the run from the government because he killed somebody, therefore also there is no chazaka by sitting on the land of the accused murderer. Hey, Chidami Macha, what is a good protest? Amar Rav Zvid, Rav Zvid said, Planya gazlana havya u lo havya macha. If the guy says, the original owner says, you know, so-and-so, the man on my territory is a thief. That's not a macha. Because the man says, yeah, he hates me, calls me a thief. He didn't like the fact that I did a good deal. I got it when he didn't want to sell it. But if he says, planya gazlana hu, so-and-so is a thief. Dinakit le la roi begazlanusa. Because he took my field in theft. Is being, not that in general he's a thief. He's a thief for taking my field. And he says, Ulamachar Tavanale Bedina, and tomorrow I'm taking him to court. Havya Macha. That is a protest. Thank you so much.